Hi, I'm Bran, and I love Lifetime movies.
I'm Patrick Serrano, and I am a Lifetime movie expert.
And in lieu of Dan, I'm Brian. I despise Lifetime movies, and this
is a Deck the Hallmark podcast. Lifetime of Quarks.
Deckgummit.
Dan's gone. Dan's gone. Dan's gone. Hey, hey. Hello, everybody. Hello. Welcome to Deck the Lifetime Uncorked, your monthly dose of the Deck the Hallmark Lifetime Uncorked collaboration. Boy, do I love it. I love it.
Oh,
Patrick,
yeah.
How are you, buddy?
Oh, it's a good time. I'm great. I'm in summer mode.
If yeah, you
can
are.
Tell, I'm tanner than I was last month.
Should we call you Tanner now?
Hey, Tanner, how are you?
Yeah, yeah. You know, the Chicago beaches are open, so I've been hitting those up. And,
those exist? Yeah. Okay, wow, Aaron, good
just,
Lord.
Just inviscerated Bran with her eyes.
Why are you so passionate about that?
I was just talking to a friend about how I loved this time of year in Chicago because yeah. We would, like, skip school and go to
what?
The beach.
Your dad's
it's
listening.
The best.
It's fine. It's
wait,
the
what? What do you mean? You went are to school in Chicago?
I went to college in Chicago.
Okay. You know that?
No, I when I think of skipping school, I don't think you can skip school in college. That's just called going to like okay, that's just yeah, implied. Yeah. Like skipping school class. is for like high school. I just
sure.
assume every
you,
college
you
student
didn't go to class
we didn't yeah. we went to the beach. Okay, I'm good to know yeah. Aaron is very passionate about Chicago beaches. Patrick, you and Aaron can catch up offline here.
We will talk about the Chicago beaches, the gay beach. It's great.
Did you go to the gay beach, Aaron?
I don't think I went to the gay beach, but I did hang out in Boys Town almost every weekend.
There you go. So.
Boys Town.
Yeah, the gay beach is not for the weak, the faint, you know.
Is,
you might,
is Boys Town, is that also like gay town?
It is. It's been rebranded as Halstead, I think, or okay. North Halstead, you know.
Because if going to Chicago, I could see myself stumbling into Boys Town, thinking yeah. I can't wait to hang out with the boys, yeah. and then being like, now I yeah. get it, yeah. now I get it.
Yeah,
but gay
yeah.
beach, I mean, there's no confusing that. Boys right. Town's a little bit confusing because yeah. I like hanging out with the boys.
Yeah, yeah, but it's still fun.
Yeah,
I mean, you would still have fun.
I would go to Boys Town with you, Patrick. I'm not. Don't hear what I'm not saying. Yeah.
We were this close, but then a thunderstorm came and we didn't meet up. On Pride.
That's true. That's true.
On the float going with Tesla in like a booty shorts and like a mid-drift?
Yeah, yes. Sure. I'm sorry. What? You were like, with Tesla?
Like in the parade. I was walking with Tesla or riding with Tesla.
Like Tesla, yeah. the
like
bit like
car?
Like
company,
by
the company,
it was put
yeah.
on by Tesla, and they said,
yeah,
"Get
was,
us Patrick from Lifetime Uncorked."
Yep, yep,
got it.
I was the Tesla girl.
You're Elon loves you. that's one thing I know. Elon, a big Lifetime Uncorked fan, was like, "If we can't get Patrick, I don't
yeah,
want to be a
shut
part
it
of this."
Down if you can.
There you go.
There you go. Is there some big Pride events going on? This month, I assume.
All month, yeah. Happy Pride, everyone. It's a
Happy
great
Pride
month. You know, support your gays. Yeah, be trans rights. All those things. But yeah, I don't know what's going on. I'm almost 40. I don't.
That's right. You no longer go to Boys Town, yeah. if I recall correctly.
Yeah. No longer a boy.
But it's
won't you be a boy again? Did I hear?
Yeah, you'll be a boy again when you're 50. Is that how it worked? Remember?
Got it. Yeah, like Peter Pan.
Yes, got it. this month we're talking about. The movie You'll Never Leave Me, which was a Lifetime Movie Network joint, different than the Lifetime Channel. In all ways, including money spent on the movies, I think. But what do we need to know about this movie? Obviously, you and I watched it. Brian, you filling in for Dan, you did not watch it. So what do we need to know heading into this movie before we dive in, Patrick?
Okay, so first of all, the Lifetime Movie Network, as we know, has the lower budgets, and they don't get internationally released. So it's just a local, you know, American experience.
It's a little domestic joint.
Yeah, international listeners, sorry for you. I know we're really big in Australia.
Huge.
Right?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, they love us out there. But you know what? If you try hard enough, I'm sure you can find this movie somewhere on the internet, legally or not. I don't know. Not that I would ever.
You wouldn't condone, right?
I would not condone that.
It's not an endorsement.
No.
Okay.
Just saying.
And it stars, let's see, Philip Boyd, who plays our person in a coma. I just had to put them in there first.
Great. Thank you.
Chrisette Leverett. Chrisette Leverett. She was in another Lifetime movie this year, a murder mystery one. Mm. So, of course, I hated that one. But, you know, we'll give her another chance.
She was the lead.
She was the lead. Yeah, she was the lead. And Cameron Jabo.
Sure.
Jabo.
Who did we find out, Aaron? Christian Jabo is what ranger did he play? The Super Silver Mega Silver? Do you remember?
He was the Silver Super Mega Force Ranger.
Silver Super Mega Force?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, he is a Lifetime movie staple. Great. He's been in a bunch of these. So we love him. And a very handsome man, of course.
Very handsome man. Absolutely. We'll get to it. I was going to complain about something, but we'll get to it.
We'll get there.
You know exactly what I'm talking about, Patrick.
Oh, yes, I do. Cameron Jambo, favorite Lifetime movie title, Killer Single Dad.
Killer Single Dad. I love that.
Yeah.
Good for him. Way to be killer, single, and a dad.
Yep. But that's not this movie. This movie is You'll Never Leave Me. And it starts. I have two laptops, so let me get to my next.
Oh, you can't hide money.
All right. Okay. So the movie begins. We have an attractive couple.
Yeah.
And they are in a car. They're like, kind of arguing, I guess, right?
Weren't they in a park to begin with? Weren't they walking in a park?
Oh, yeah. They're in a park and they're like talking about the relationship. Yes. And like, he basically is like, you know, she's like giving him an ultimatum. Like, you need to leave your wife or be with me.
Yeah, I was confused as to if it was an ultimatum or not. It did seem like this was news to her. That she didn't know that she was the, I don't know, other the other woman. And she was like, you got to figure this out. But until you do, basically, we can't hang out anymore. So she was trying to That's be nice. Above. She was Pretty trying ethical. To be above board here.
Yeah.
But also she needed to get home. So they do get in the car together. It's like, hey, we're calling this quitso, but. Like Uber, like it's surge pricing.
Yeah, yeah.
Could you give me a ride home? Maybe, so they do end up in the car, yes.
And the car is key because, Brian, you don't know this, but in a Lifetime movie, when you're in a car, there will be a car accident.
Yeah. Always?
Always.
That's actually kind of a relief because whenever I see a car scene, I'm assuming an intersection crash is coming.
Yeah.
So just to know that they get the satisfaction, that's good to know.
So, yes. He, Patrick, the bad guy, he basically professes his love to her. And as he's doing this, he's like, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have like had a wife. he crashes the car and we get the title. You'll never leave me.
Yeah. It was a lot. It was quite the first, cold open, if you will. They never cease to surprise me. Sometimes the first big incident takes a little while, and sometimes it's within the first minute, and you never know what you're going to get.
You got to pay attention
for
the first, like, 5 minutes.
Yes.
The rest, maybe not.
Yes.
But the 5 minutes, you got to pay attention to that. So we wake up. We're in a hospital. We see April's mom. Her mom's name is Stella. And
Stella! She is like,
I was waiting for it. Stella is like, is my daughter gonna be okay? The nurse or the doctor or whoever, they're like, yeah, she has like a concussion, but she'll be fine. The other guy, it's not looking great.
Oh, no.
It's not looking
He's
great.
In a coma.
Oh no.
He's in a coma.
A weird thing happens here with April and her mom.
Yeah.
Well, I can't even really. So she's like talking to her mom, kind of. And then, like, we see this flashback of her, like, her dad, like, when she's younger, her dad being like, hey, your mom doesn't want me to be around anymore. I'm out of here. Deuces.
I'm out.
And it cuts back to present day. And all of a sudden, she's just like, I don't even want you in here, Mom. Get out of here. You made Dad leave. And it was out of nowhere. They were like, oh, I hope you're going to be okay. You know, everything's going to be. Get out of here, Mom.
So the concussion brought it
up. The concussion. I don't know what it was.
Oh, boy.
She mentioned some sort of trigger, but it's just like, I think what you'll find with her is that her trigger is just life in general. Like
things
anything
happening.
And everything is some stress in general is a big trigger for her. So
yeah, she has like anxiety and panic attacks. Like this is like a thing. And her mom's like, oh, she always gets like this. Don't
I'm sure
worry,
that helps
guys.
Her too.
This is classic her.
She's been like this her whole life, but this is like Lifetime, you know, like trying to like tackle an issue.
Sure.
So we're tackling mental health and not, you know.
I'd say maybe don't, but that's just me.
They tried. They tried.
You gotta crawl before you can walk. So
exactly.
They don't.
But April, has this really, also about the flashback, Bran and Brian, since you don't watch these movies, the flashbacks, this type of flashback is like a piece. They're going to give you little pieces at a time.
Okay.
You know, so they're going to string it all together in the end. You hope.
Yeah.
Sometimes they don't on Lifetime, but this is kind of what they're doing here, right?
They're trying.
So April takes care of her mental health. She decides to work from home, which is good. You know, you're setting some boundaries after you had like a crazy incident.
Can I just quickly just say she is like a graphic designer or something, and she's working on like a cereal box or something. It's like some sort of box, and it's got like this like cartoon monster on it. It's one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life as far as design goes. And but good for her. She said she's going to work from home. She kind of like says, because at this point she's got like a little sling on. She's like, I'm going to work from home. But then when she's home, she doesn't even wear the sling. And I think it's just because of the mental health stuff. Like, I need to take care of this. And you don't need to be in the office to work on your monster cartoons. So it all works out.
Graphic design.
And another fun fact about her with graphic design is she is a very interesting type of graphic designer that works with like markers, like Crayola markers.
Crayola.
Like, just kind of like coloring around on scrap paper. So
she gets her idea. Like
I don't know.
Turn into the end result in any way.
I don't think we see an end result.
It might also be that mental health thing too, or it
maybe
calms her down. The coloring.
Maybe it
coloring is it is calming, and you know maybe she has a special Crayola marker that goes on screens. We don't
That's
know.
True.
Yeah.
It's her mom. Like she's always done this. She's her and her crayons.
Her and her crayons.
She loves to color. She also has a nurse, Kathy, who apparently this woman stays with her sometimes when she's not feeling well mentally and helps take care of her.
Here's what I love about Nurse Kathy is if you think she is going to be called Nurse Kathy the whole movie, you'd be correct.
Sure.
But she does say when she's talking to her friend at work, she was like, my friend Nurse Kathy is going to stay with me, which I thought was great. My friend Nurse Kathy, as we call her.
Did she hire the nurse herself?
Podcaster. Brand.
Right? You say your job title. It seems like that Nurse Kathy was hired by the mom at some point.
Yes.
Okay.
When
okay.
April was in like a low and it worked out well.
Sure. So the mom doesn't have to do
like
the hard
family.
Work.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. You know, outsourcing. So April is like, you know, got her set up. She goes to buy she's like walking around like town and she stops in like a little cafe. She needs to take her anxiety medicine. She like gets her pills and she has to take it with milk for some reason.
Of course.
I feel like prescriptions usually say don't take with milk or like, you know, don't take with grapefruit juice or whatever. But
really?
She has to take it with milk. She has to take it with milk.
It was so weird. I got like weirdly obsessed with the milk. Maybe it's because I love milk.
Yeah.
But she's like, I need milk. I need milk. She goes to this cafe and she's like, do you have like a milk, like a little milk? And the guy behind the counter's like, yeah, yeah, we do. He's pumped. He gives her the milk.
That's my dream role.
Yeah.
Nobody's asked for regular dairy milk in months in that cafe.
Yeah. Man. I've never heard of that. Maybe somebody can tell me that they take their medicine with milk. Is that a thing, Aaron?
I'm looking it up right now. It's very specific to the medication. Some you cannot take with milk because dairy products will stop absorption into your system and it won't be effective. But some medicines that cause like an upset stomach, they do say you should take with milk because it will help those symptoms.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great. Like the acid. Thank you. Sense. Thank
balances,
you, Aaron.
Balances it out.
Thank you. Thank you, producer Aaron. I will say, I don't know, like, why couldn't she just wait until she got home? Like, she's, like, in the streets, needed and she's like, I need milk.
Well, she's so stressed out about everything. So she like, really is going into a panic over the milk, and she's trying to open the pill bottles, and it has, you know, one of those child locks. And she spills the pills all over the table. And they're like little, like, it's obviously like Altoid mints or something because there's dust everywhere.
So much dust.
And the pills go all over the place. But this is her, like, meet cute with this handsome stranger. He helps her. And he's like, it's okay. Like, let me help you with your pills. And she's like, I can't deal. And she runs to the bathroom.
She runs to the bathroom without picking. She left
pills?
She left pills just all over the table and on the floor. Like, there's freaking kids in there.
Rule
like,
number one.
You, this is reckless. You should be arrested for this.
Absolutely.
She's a drug dealer at this point.
Yes. But she comes back after she takes her pills, and the guy introduces himself. His name's Jimmy. This is our handsome Cameron Jabo, Silver Power Ranger, apparently.
That's right.
Silver and, Super Mega, please.
Sorry. And he calms her down, and he calms her down enough to, like, flirt. They, like, start flirting, you know? Like, it, like, 1 second ago, she was super anxious, but now she is, like, so being Sandra Bullock.
Dude, the milk pills, they hit real fast, and you can have a full-blown flirt sesh.
Yeah, he gets her number. I mean, he really, like, does the whole thing. So, I mean,
almost
please,
like he's done
Exactly. He calls to follow up, and he's like, hey, you know, just checking in, making sure you're okay. She's like, you know, my boyfriend is in a coma, so, like, now's, like, not the best time to be dating.
Yeah, and also, I don't need you to come over. I've got my friend, Nurse Kathy. She's here. We're good. Yes. Everything's square here.
Plenty of milk.
Nurse Kathy
so much
is
milk.
Taking care. Yes, they got all the milk. The milkman has come. And Nurse Kathy has, like, a therapy session with April about her father. And her father apparently left and committed suicide or something. And April blames her mother for everything. That's why there's that tension.
Hey, can we act out what happens here?
Sure.
You be April. I'll be Kathy. Spill your guts. Your guts to me. I'll be Nurse Kathy. Sorry.
I'm so upset about my father and my mother, and it was awful.
Yeah, that's tough, April. I'm famished. I gotta go get food. Bye. I kid you not,
she's
Brian.
Not enough, huh?
She is mid, like, just pouring it out, and Nurse Kathy's like, I can't. Yeah. She literally says, I'm famished. Yeah. I need to go get food. Stat. I know you're going through a tough time. Drink your milk.
It's just another Tuesday.
I'll be right back.
I'll be right back.
Hold that thought.
I'll be right back.
Yeah. It's not that she needs to, like, make food. She's like, oh, my dinner is ready. I got a ping on my phone. I gotta go.
I'm famished.
So Nurse Kathy goes out to pick up her food in a random back alley, of course, as you do. Not a normal front entrance of a store. She goes to the back entrance of a store, comes out with her bag of food, and she is, of course, attacked in the parking lot by somebody with a crowbar, probably.
Yes.
And she ends up also in a coma.
Oh, no.
That's two There's comas.
Double coma.
There's a run on comas. They're just two for one special. I'll say this, too, and Aaron pointed this out while we were watching it. This is why you always just, like a normal person, get your food and just put it in the passenger seat next to you. Kathy, Nurse Kathy, opened up the back door, put the food in there, yeah. And then there's so much time outside the car.
Yeah,
you just take your food, get in your seat, put it in the floorboard next to you.
Absolutely.
That's it. If you want to try to not get hit in the head with a crowbar, this is what you do.
That's what I tell my kids. When you guys can drive, rule number one, put your food, get in the car, and then deal with the food.
Forget about parallel parking.
Yeah. Where do you put the food when you're
The cars your will park themselves. Don't worry about it. They're not going to put your food away for you.
No, they are not.
Well, and Brian, I assume like when your kids are old enough to drive, you'll just send them out to get dinner all the time. You'll be like, guys, just
can't
go
wait.
Pick up food.
I cannot wait.
I buy, you fly type of thing.
Exactly. Oh, man. They'll be running errands nonstop. They'll try to cut up their driver's license.
Perfect. Yeah. I love that. Okay. So while visiting Nurse Kathy, April stops by Patrick's room and she's like, goodbye.
She broke up with him in a coma?
You know what? Yes.
Nice.
But, well, they already broke up. This was a completely unnecessary conversation. Yeah. But it all set up. We forgot to mention Patrick that earlier on in the movie, we do see Patrick in a coma and we see his wife. Mm-hmm. And his wife is very, like, you can tell. She maybe isn't like has a few like she's a little intense. She's like, what is it called? What's the name of the movie? I'll never leave you.
You'll never leave me.
You'll never leave me. I'll never leave you. She's like talking to Patrick in the coma. Well, when she walks in, she sees April. Yep. And earlier in the movie, April comes in and is like, hey, I just want to say sorry. And she's like, never come back here again. Well, she's back there again. Mm-hmm. She sees her leaving Patrick's room and she's like, son of a gun, son of a gun.
And Susan's like very buttoned up. You know, she's like a corporate lawyer or something. You know, she's like very manicured.
This
I would
is
say.
What we're doing.
The anti-monster graphic designer.
Absolutely.
Type.
She would never.
Okay.
No, she has never touched a Crayola marker in her life. Okay.
Say
she
no
only
more.
Uses, what are those? Mechanical pencils. That's she right. only uses mechanical pencils.
Yeah, I got it. Painted a beautiful picture there.
I hate mechanical pencils.
Yeah, everyone. They're the worst. They're the worst.
Just okay. Lead everywhere, like pills.
So Jimmy, our hunk, calls again.
Right.
He asks April to have a picnic lunch that he made himself. Mm-hmm. Okay. So romantic. And he went to culinary school, you guys. This guy is like the best. Like, this is not just like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. This is like a good ass lunch.
Man. That is nice.
And he starts talking to April, and as they're talking, he says the phrase, live and learn. You know, you live and learn, right?
Right.
You ever heard that phrase?
I have heard that phrase, you know, a few thousand times in my life. Yes.
Well, lucky for you, you're not April, because that sends her into a panic attack.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Okay.
So here's what happens is he says that phrase and we see a flashback of Patrick saying that phrase. Like, I don't know everybody ever.
Sure.
And so that's big. And then he says something else. It's like normal phrases like, how about the sun? Like, that's like anything.
Have a good day.
Have a good day.
What did you say? How about the sun?
How about the sun?
Nobody says how about the who?
Hey, I don't know what you guys are doing out there in your Chicago beaches, but down here in the South, we say, how about the sun?
Okay, okay.
Seems to me.
How about the sun? You're not from here.
I'm not from here. I wouldn't get it.
How about the sun?
How about them socks?
How are you doing? You oh, man, Patrick used to say that.
How about the sun?
Yeah, so she really, like, goes through it. She's like, I have to go right now. She starts running. She just, like, books it. And Jimmy is chasing after her. He's like, wait, come back, April.
Take a sandwich.
And
how about the sun?
She runs into traffic and is almost hit by a car head on. But Jimmy tackles her to the ground and saves her life.
What a romantic. I tell you what. How about the sun, first of all? And second of all, anybody that would do that is worth at least, you know, finishing the meal with, right? Anybody that would push you out of the way of a car? At least finish the meal.
Yeah. It's the only decent thing.
Yeah. April is very thankful. She's like, you saved my life. Thank you so much. This is how she talks in the movie.
You are amazing at impressions.
No, I don't know. I don't know. She was a much better actress than I ever would be.
Don't sell yourself short. You're really, this is coming through.
No pictures. No pictures.
Thank you so
please.
Much. You saved my life. Yes. Okay. We cut to Stella, April's mom, Stella. Because she's still ostracized, you know. And my favorite thing about this, kind of just checking in with Stella, is that she drinks a lot of wine, like, alone, and watches, like, videos of April as a child and, like, writes emails, like, please forgive me.
There's another, weird nugget in this movie, which is that Stella loves being outside, but, like, April hates it.
I relate.
And it really, like, yeah, because how about the sun?
Tanner.
But, like, it is weird. It is a weird thing that I don't really feel like ultimately has any weight in the movie, that April hates being outside. But there is, like, the video clip is, like, April recording her mom and her mom being like, isn't it so great being outside? How about the sun? And that's, like, her just being like, oh, man, I wish I could be outside with my daughter again. So it's weird. It doesn't matter, but it is worth noting, I guess.
Yes, of course. I mean, you know, the little details are so important.
They matter.
So April has her friends, right? We have Marie and Lisa, and they're, like, starting to, like, you know, hear about Jimmy and how great he is and how he saved her life. And they're like, we're going to look into him because, you know, your last boyfriend was in a coma and has a wife. So we don't trust you to make the right decision on a man.
Fair.
They can't find any social media on Jimmy, which is a red flag.
Of course.
And they're like, we'll look into it more, whatever. And they should, because Jimmy keeps, throughout the movie, keeps trying to poison or drug April.
It's a thing he does. Now,
it's like their cute thing.
The interesting thing about him is he does it almost like it's against, he's doing it against his will. Gosh, I gotta do this again. Pours it in the drink, gives her the drink.
Drink your milk.
She gets distracted, so he takes the cup back and pours it out. Like, oh, I can't believe I did that again. So, like, it is a weird, like, what's this guy's deal? Do you want, like, typically, once you have, I'm assuming,
Yep.
Once you have the vial of a drug and you pour it in and you hand it, that's tough to turn back from, but he does it. He's like, I can't do this anymore. Rah. So it is a weird, like, what's going on with Jimmy? Uh-huh. Why is Jimmy being so weird about this? Do you have any theories as to why Jimmy's being so weird about this?
About the drug thing?
Yeah.
I can't even, I'm so caught off guard with all these, like, threads all over the place.
Yeah.
I'm hoping it all comes together and you get some closure on this, because I don't know, like, could you have been doing it your whole life and you had a good time with it and you had one bad experience where you lost somebody, you're just playing around with drugging them, went a little too far, and then you're like, I can't do that again. I don't know. It's something I've never heard of. Somebody who has, like, a thing for playing around with drugging people.
He seemed very uneasy about the whole thing.
That's really interesting.
Yeah,
don't
it's
make
like
me
to
drug
the point
you.
Where
don't make me like drug. You, don't make me.
You know that thing in a movie where, like, they have the glasses and, like, the glasses, like, are coming and they're like, "Don't drink it."
Yes.
It's kind of like that. Like, it's
he's the one who handed you the glass. He's like, "Here you go."
Don't do it. He likes to live on the edge, and then once you get too close, he's pulls back. I don't know. That's a weird one. Can't wait to hear why.
Also makes April pasta, which I was just like, this pasta looks so terrible.
It looked really bad. It was really bad.
You know, for culinary school, it was really disappointing. But it did make me get pasta for lunch. I have it.
Better looking pasta.
Yeah, I love pasta.
Literally any sort of pasta makes me want pasta. Like, whether it's good or bad on TV, I'm like, that does look good. I will eat that later.
Or when they eat pizza in a movie.
Forget about it. That's,
I will have pizza. Yep.
It's the rest of my day.
So Jimmy is like, let's, like, take things slow with April. He, like, buys her flowers and, like, sets up a romantic movie night. Like, he's going to, like, you know, woo her a little bit. No, he's pulling out all the stops. And, you know, it's like, oh, okay, like this guy might, you know, maybe he was going to drug her once, but he seems to be turning it around.
Until
right?
he drugs her again.
Ugh, Jimmy.
He does. And then he drugs her. He carries her up to her bed, puts her in bed, and then goes downstairs. This is a very long scene that's very drawn out. Grabs a kitchen knife, goes up, and is like gonna like slit her wrist, uh-huh. I guess. And he can't do it. He can't follow through. He just like walks back downstairs, puts the knife in like the knife block, and leaves.
He's always been like this. Sleeps on the couch.
No
follow through with Jimmy.
But he always like he tries it once and then doesn't do it, and then he ends up doing it. So like the next time he drugs her, he will successfully kill her. In theory.
Yeah.
In theory.
He is supposed to kill her, but he doesn't want
to. It takes practice.
So Marie is like a lawyer or something. She drops off papers for April. That's her friend Marie. And she takes the opportunity to start asking questions. She's like, oh, Jimmy, like, where did you go to cooking school or whatever? You know, just like random questions. He answers them all fine. But then she follows him in her car. Uh-huh. She like follows him.
And he ends up going to Susan's house.
Susan's house.
Crazy Patrick's crazy wife.
Oh, of course. Susan.
Susan.
Mechanical
Susan.
Pencil.
Mechanical
Susan.
Pencil Susan.
Of course.
Yes. Okay. So Susan basically like is putting Jimmy up to all this, right? So ooh. She wants him to like kill April and stage it as suicide. In exchange, she'll like pay his culinary school tuition.
Yeah,
that's a fair deal.
It is a fair deal. Who hasn't?
You learn how to cook, but you got to do one little side job, and it's all taken care of.
Yeah, it's no big deal. Now there is a relation here. So Patrick is Jimmy's like half brother, step brother, whatever. So there is a relation there. And she's like, Patrick loves you. I love you. We want you to go to culinary school, like to finish that. Yep. We'll open a restaurant. Yep. I'll get free food. It's going to be
for
awesome.
Life, yeah.
But you just got to do this one
thing.
It's just one kill. That's all. And then all done.
Yeah.
Culinary time.
Yeah. Time to cook.
And he's like, that's all good and great. But there's one problem. I fell in love with April.
Oh. Yeah.
Dude, first mistake of being a hired hit person.
But this is why he's nervous, because he's never done it before. This isn't something he's really comfortable with. And he's kind of falling for the girl.
Yeah.
So he's like, oh, I got to drug you. I got to kill you. But I don't want to.
Yeah.
But I also really like cooking. Yes. It's tough. You're two loves.
And Susan's like not taking that as an excuse. She's like, kill her. Yeah. She's like,
cold hearted.
Kill her. K-I-L-L-H-E-R.
And she's like, do it for your brother, and points to a picture of Patrick that's like Patrick posing in front of a waterfall or something, like in a suit, like, I'm Patrick. It's a weird picture, but don't worry. Both Susan and Jimmy have that same picture framed in their houses.
That's fountain
It's a great picture.
It's great.
You know how you have like headshots of all of your siblings framed in your house?
Actually, my mom does have headshots of me and my siblings.
I love that.
It might be a serial killer.
No.
Oh, there you go.
You stop that.
So Jimmy takes a shower. We don't get a shower scene, and we don't get a shirtless hunk.
We sure don't. We get a lot of lead up. Him turning, like, it's a whole, like, here's how you turn on a shower. And then, like, it's just nothing. We don't see any pecs, nothing.
And when he comes out of the shower, he's not only in a towel, he is in a tank top, and the towel is over his shoulder. Mm. So I got to say, Cameron J-Bo, why are you hiding?
What are you hiding? Yeah.
You have a morality clause in your contract?
Super silver mega.
Yeah.
More like,
you know,
more like super disappointed.
Yeah.
That's probably what, like, he, for the Power Rangers, he didn't have morality clause.
Maybe.
And they just had him in that tight bodysuit, and he's like, I feel objectified. I'm not doing this anymore. So he probably just like, I'm not doing
I'll wear a tank top and that's it.
Right. But, you know, I'll take what I can
get.
Sure. So as he is showering, Marie, the friend who's been following him around town, sneaks into the house. And she doesn't... does she find anything? I don't think she does.
I think... I don't know. She... ultimately, Susan...
She sees the picture.
She sees the picture. She's like, I got it. And ultimately, Susan shows up, shoots her with what I can only... classify as the biggest gun I've ever seen, like the biggest handgun. This thing is ginormous.
Yeah,
and I'm a little foggy on these details. So she like does an elaborate staging of trying to say that this is a suicide, like puts the giant gun in her hand, takes the picture of Patrick and like puts it in the her pocket, and then she like digs a hole and buries her.
What?
And it was like,
yeah,
is she trying to stage a suicide or is she trying to hide the body?
She's also like kind of framing Jimmy for this too.
Yeah,
like she's like, she's just doing it all. Wow. She's like, if the cops have any questions, I've covered any possible scenario.
She did this whole staging though. Like we see her put the gun in her hand.
Oh yeah.
Pocket, and then she's like, you know what, on second thought, I'm just gonna bury the body, it's just easier this way, all in, all done, no big deal.
Yeah. And you know, Jimmy is like properly freaked out because he's like, dude, you killed someone in my house. Like he rushes over to April and she's like trying to be all lovey-dovey, like kiss him and stuff, and he's like, I just want to make sure you're safe, I just want to make sure you're safe. And she's like, what, why, like what's going on? So the next day, April, we kind of wrap up the whole drama with the mother and the father and all that stuff. The mom explains like the father was abusive. This is like an emotional scene. And they had a restraining order. And then the restraining order like caused the dad to like kill himself because he was like upset about not being around April or something.
Super weird, yeah. Super pointless. But we did it.
One way to solve it, I guess.
We do learn that Stella's favorite season is spring.
No, false. Her favorite season is April.
It's April. You're right. Oh, you're right.
But man. Close enough. That's April crazy. Is a part of spring.
Yep.
I named you that because my favorite season is April.
Is April. Literal line in the movie.
You know, the season of April. Sure.
It's your classic. It's your classic.
So our coma boy, Patrick, dies.
Oh.
He dies. You know, he's been in a coma the whole movie, so he had to die.
And this is like a little bit of a surprise because literally all movie, it's like, he's going to be fine. And then all of a sudden it's like, hey, Pat's dead.
Was it suspicious at all?
No, everyone's really bummed about this.
Okay.
Like Susan's very bothered.
Susan becomes even more unhinged by this. She is like grief stricken. She calls Jimmy. She's like, we need to honor his death. We need to finish what we started. And Jimmy's like, I'm out. Like you're like gone too far over the edge. Like this is like getting really scary. So Susan has to do her own dirty work. Oh, right. No. So April and her friend Lisa, the one who's not dead, they become worried that the dead friend is like not answering the calls. And you know, they're like, we should put in a police report or whatever. But Jimmy comes over and he's like, okay, like, let me just tell you what happened.
First of all, you need to know something. Patrick's dead. And you might be wondering, how do I know who Patrick is? Well, maybe this picture will show you. It's the framed picture. No, he does say I'm like, he comes clean about everything. I'm related to him and his wife.
Yep.
Basically just says everything about what it is. And obviously Susan knew that was going to happen. So she shows up with another rather large, but not as big gun.
Yes. And she just starts shooting people. She shoots Lisa to show that she's serious. And then there is a knock at the door.
Who is it?
And the knock at the door,
Dwayne?
Is Stella, the mom, coming back. And she's like, oh, we had such a great talk. You know, April is my favorite season. And
I won't make you go outside.
Yeah, stay inside.
Yeah. And April's like, Mom, get out of here. get out of here, Mom. No, go away. I hate you. And Stella's like, this again? You're having your panic attack again? Ugh, you're too much, daughter. And she's like, I guess I'll leave. And because April, you know, of course, has a gun to her.
Yeah.
But Stella doesn't leave. She goes around the back. And she sees what's going on. And she starts fighting with, what's her name? Susan. And they're all going crazy. And basically, they like overpower Susan, get the gun,
hit her with a Jimmy vase.
Hit her with a vase. Jimmy gets shot, mm-hmm. and you know, the vase takes out Susan, and everyone's fine. We flash to later, okay?
Yeah,
we don't get any police or whatever.
Nothing.
It's just later.
It's just later. When
April later. April reads a letter from Jimmy, that he wrote from jail because he's in jail now. And we learn that it's not the first letter she has received. It is the 17th one.
Why? I don't know. But she even is like, but he was really something. He even said, how about the son, like Patrick? Or whatever the phrase was. It is what was it? You live and learn.
Live and learn.
He was
right?
Really special, Mom. He even said, you live, you learn.
Yeah.
And that's the end of the movie.
Did
Susan go to jail?
Nah, Susan
might be dead.
Could be dead. Could be in jail. We don't get 1 or 17 letters from her.
Hmm. No, we don't know.
But that is
the
movie.
Is the movie. So on the show, we either pour it up, which means yes, would recommend, or put a cork in it, which means would not recommend. I guess we'll start with you, Brian, because you haven't seen the movie. What are you thinking? What are your thoughts?
So that the listening to it be described, it was all over the place.
Yes,
very confusing to like imagine, to picture these scenarios happening and how they're all going to tie together. But I had the benefit of listening to this movie get watched in a room next to me. I didn't get to see it, but I got to hear reactions.
Yeah,
and there's no way I could not pour it up for this movie because of how raucous the other room was during this movie. It was some of the loudest hooting and hollering I've ever heard around here. And so I just know from, if I didn't hear that, I would probably be putting a cork in it because the description is just, there's just so much going on here. And it's like, blah, blah, blah. But it was great that it tied together with Susan orchestrating all this stuff. So there's a chance I still would have poured it up. But 100% pouring it up after knowing, kind of having a sense of the time you're in for when watching this movie. So that's where I'm landing on this one.
Okay. Bran, what are you thinking?
Well, I just want to put on the record, this is not a good movie. Real bad, real low quality. And real fun.
Yeah,
I had an absolute blast. And I got to say this. Aaron and I were watching this movie. And Aaron, to her credit, said, I bet Susan's orchestrating the whole thing. And I was a little bit slower to get that. I was like, she's kind of weird. She's like, but it's not like Susan said anything necessarily to make you go like, oh, yeah, she's going to orchestrate a whole murder. So kudos to Susan for playing that the way she played it. Kudos to Aaron for figuring it out. And kudos to us for watching it because it was a good time. Kudos. Patrick?
Good. Yeah, I would also pour it up. I mean, these are the people who are involved in the movie are like, very Lifetime literate, you know. So you have Danny J. Boyle, not Danny Boyle of Slumdog Millionaire.
Sure.
Jay Boyle, who does a lot of these Lifetime movies. And yeah, the actors are all like vets of the genre. So I think they did a good job of making it fun and like knowing that like a little winky, like we get it. We know what we're doing. So yeah, it was definitely a fun one.
You live, you learn.
You do.
And I think that's the most important thing.
You do.
Is you live, you learn.
And what's up with that son?
And also, please, please, if you drop pills in a cafe, you gotta pick them up.
Yeah.
You gotta pick them up. There's
safety. It's safety.
It's safety. There's children around.
They're expensive too.
It's summer.
Right.
I guess so.
Expensive.
Well, we did, everybody. Patrick, thank you so much for coming back on. Can't wait to do this again very soon. Next month, Christmas in July, maybe a little Lifetime Christmas action to help us cool down this summer. But until then, may we be the first
to
wish you a Merry Christmas!
Deck the Hallmarks of Bramble Jam podcast is produced by Aaron Shea. For more information on Deck the Hallmark, you can go to deckthehallmark.com. For more information on the Deck the Hallmark family, you can go to bramblejamplus.com. Deck the Hallmark is presented by Philo TV. For a free trial of Philo, go to philo.tv/DTH.
You're about to hear some ads that help keep the lights on here in the old studio. Thanks for listening, or don't listen. It's really up to you at this point. It's at the end of the show. I mean, you're listening to me. Hi. But here they come. I promise they're coming. Yep, here they are. Happy day.